Hi, this is Clint.
And this is Lizzie.
Today we interview Jim Ward, founder and CEO of BrainCell.
The first guest of ours who leads a software consulting company.
Yeah. You know, I've known Jim for many years. Always been quite a character, and today was certainly no different.
For sure. From hiring to how to grow a company to how his company engages with clients, Jim shared a wide range of advice and jokes, of course.
Yeah, he did. He did, didn't he? And you know, what I like most today about this podcast is how Jim really went into the details about how he runs his company. A lot of great insights in there. He probably gave us more hands-on advice than we've heard from most of our other guests.
Definitely. Yes. And actually, for any of our listeners who are bibliophiles, you may appreciate the many book suggestions that Jim throws out in this one. See if you can catch them all. Enjoy.
Thanks for joining us today on the Fuel Growth Podcast.
What is the right growth equation for your company? Is it pipeline?
Brand?
Product?
Customers?
Employees?
Join us as we interview CEOs, entrepreneurs, and seasoned executives to explore what it takes to propel your business into growth. Joining us today is Jim Ward, founder and CEO of BrainCell, the growth enablement company, helping other companies of all shapes and sizes across North America crush their goals with business consulting and technology solutions since their founding in 1994. Jim is also the host of the Growth Enablement Madness podcast, a certified pilot, and a proud Harley rider. Welcome to the pod, Jim.
Well, Clint, that sounds sexier than I anticipated. Thank you.
We are happy to have you here today with us, Jim. I am particularly excited because I need your bold personality in my life this week. First, I want to kick off today with a get to know you question. I think your company is back to working in the office. Is that right?
Yes, we are. Yep.
How does let's talk about how a good day starts in the office for you.
So first of all, unlike a lot who have moved to remote, we have not. We're hybrid remote. That doesn't mean we don't have remote people because we have people across the United States and they obviously can't make the trip in. But a good day for me starts with just sensing the energy of the office. I love being around people, sensing their energy. You know, you can get a vibe of the energy in the office that juices me for the day. So that's a starting point. And of course, let's be honest, any sales that come in make you happy too. So if, you know, if you hear a gong, we have gong in the office. So if a gong goes off, it means that we have a successful sale taking place and that we're going to be helping a customer be better by doing business with us.
I miss those gongs. I had forgotten all about that. It's been so many years of being remote. Do you show up in the office before your team?
Oh, that's an embarrassing question because they're going to hear. No, I don't. But I stay later. So on the other end, I'm more of an evening guy than I am an early morning guy. So I'm in between 9 and 9:30.
Oh my God.
Yep. That's true. And I cannot tell a lie. Otherwise the nose would, hopefully, I know you can't see me on video, folks, but you know, the voop was my nose growing. The folks that do come in earlier have different habits and we have that flexibility and they know not to book anything before 9:30, but I'll be there till 6, 7 at night. That's not.
I respect else. That. I'm also a 9 o'clock, 9:30 person myself. Let's switch over to a not so good day. What does that look like for you?
Gosh, a not so good day. Well, first, I try to, you know, over the years, I've really tried to maintain positive thinking. So with positive thinking and positivity, you try not to view things as a bad day, but a day where you can find opportunity. There's always, and I tell this to the team, regardless of what the situation looks like, if it's a bad situation, there's always opportunity hidden in that situation. So that's my mindset. I suppose a bad day is where just something has gone wrong, you know, because it's client first for us. And if there's somebody that's not happy, that will make me go into problem solve mode and make sure that we have overcome any issues. That would be a bad day.
Understood.
So let's play off that a little bit more. Tell us more about yourself and your company, BrainCell. Well, maybe start with the name BrainCell. That's a different type of name. Tell us where the name BrainCell came from.
So when I started the company, I had a tagline first. And of course, that goes back 30 years. And I'm just going to mention, I'm the tortoise, not the hare. BrainCell is a bootstrap company. We've grown sizably over that 30 years, but it's taken a long time. Because as a bootstrap company, you do not take funds from anybody. No banks, no short-term lines of credit. I've reinvested in the business. And BrainCell, in its origination, had a series of pillars that I was following. in the starting of the business. I'd come out of a family business, which was a manufacturing company. But I started with the tagline. I've always been more of a sales and marketing person strategically. And the tagline was intelligent sales productivity solutions. And back then, if you recall, Clint, you know, it was contact management, it was Salesforce automation. The evolution of the naming conventions has been significant to CRM, to CX, customer experience. But that tagline drove me to the name and thinking about what we're going to call it. So it just seemed like when I came up with it, Brain Cell, BrainSell, felt like it supported the intelligent sales productivity solutions. But today we do so much more rather than just sales solutions that that's no longer applicable, but the name.
So you started the company 3 decades ago. By the way, congratulations. You started in 1994. 2024 will be your 30-year anniversary. Right. What inspired you to start the company overall? What kind of led you down the path to becoming an entrepreneur and doing that in the consulting industry?
First of all, what's the saying? Necessity is the mother of invention, which was one of the reasons why I started the company.
You needed a job?
I needed a job. Yeah, I needed a job. It's not that, hey, don't laugh, it's true. I had been in a family business, manufacturing company, went in a different direction. And I will tell you this, as I reflected upon it, and I reflected upon it recently, I thought, gosh, what was it? You know, I listened to a lot of books and I read a lot of books, and I was listening to Arnold, his book, and he was talking about, you know, having a purpose or some, you know, I'm listening to also Grit, something that you really, you know, you really love. And as I reflected back upon it, I just really dug software, man. This is going back, you know, in 94, you remember, there's so much change since then. I was working on VisiCalc at the family business, putting formulations in. I was the only one using contact management. Ultimately, a brand that you may or may not know, I became a big believer in was Maximizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maximizer. I do remember that. Yeah. Canadian company, I think it was. Yeah.
I was a Canadian company out of Vancouver. And so love of software started me, but I was also doing consulting in the turnaround world. So I was brought in by a turnaround specialist during the recessionary time of the 90s, the latter 90s. And I was in helping a company in Montreal with their sales and marketing efforts. And I wanted to bring the software, and I thought, because it's been so helpful to me, let me see if I can apply it to a team, get their forecasts in, and start to manage them towards success. So as a result, I ended up calling Maximizer. Maximizer, by the way, was not the number one product. ACT was considered the number one product, mm-hmm. if you recall. These products today are, I don't know if they exist, but nothing like they did in their heyday. And I was always I'm an upriver swimmer. I don't often go with the number one brand. I always go with somebody I think really has the better product. And so Maximizer was it. Next thing I know, that I became a reseller along with being a consultant for turnarounds. And the next thing I know, we were like top three in the country in a very short period of time. I then started just to focus on software and CRM, as it was not called that back then, but on implementation and becoming a reseller for that product. It then just exploded into other things and thus sugar along the way.
Outstanding.
Let's go back to Brain Cell then. So, Jim, I read your company mission statement on your website. Very focused, super clear. And I'll read it for our audience, people listening in. We help you thrive by solving your business challenges with guidance and technology. I heard that right?
Yeah, you do. The website is in constant evolution to make sure that where the website and the content evolves with what we're doing, because we evolve a lot. I really have this solid belief that, especially in the tech space, if you're not evolving, you're dying. And you've got to stay ahead on a leading edge to be successful. And so we're always moving with the cheese, because the cheese is constantly moving. Anybody remembers the book? So we do. And one of the things that has come out of that, Lizzie, is that we have a consulting group. Now, I would liken it to what Accenture does. We're not Accenture, but we're very focused on our consulting. That's a different approach. We have our CEO, who's ex-Accenture, has built out our pods. And what we do in that group, and we have some IP, it's a proven business process that we've come up with that does all the people, process, and then apply technology and or change management first. And so we call that blueprinting. And that's how we've been really successfully helping folks succeed in software implementations, because oftentimes folks buy software thinking it's a silver bullet, and it's not if you don't have the appropriate planning in place, the architecture in place, and aligning with your strategic objectives. You really need to understand strategic objectives of the company or of the division. What are the outcomes you're expecting? Otherwise, it's like going cross country on a half tank of gas in a VW with no roadmap. You might get there, but it could take months, or you'll never get there.
Yeah. So I hear ex-Accenture team member and a group of consultants that are very outcomes-based that have a blueprint, we'll call it a blueprint format that they're following to help identify your customers or prospects' business challenges.
Yes. And then there's a discovery process that identifies that they fit that. Not all people will go through that. It's not for everybody. It's really focused on mid-market, mid-enterprise, oftentimes companies that don't have the resources. And as an enterprise company, may have the resources to do it. It doesn't mean we haven't done enterprise-style companies, but our focus or our ICP, our ideal client profile, would be mid-market, mid-enterprise. But there's oftentimes companies that come in and have a very clear idea, and they're not high on the risk scale of failure. We have a series of questions that give us a sense, well, what's their level of risk? You know, are they a one, no risk, or are they a 10? And they're going to fail, absolutely. And then there's numbers in between. So that gauges whether we're going to suggest a consulting project first or whether we go right to point solution.
Once your team's been involved in the project or the implementation for any given customer that you've won, what is your team doing to maintain that and ensure that the customer's continuing to receive the value or continuing ongoing conversations around whether they're realizing value from any prior implementation?
We're very process-driven, Lizzie. We're an EOS company, entrepreneurial operating system. We follow by Traction. There's a plug for Traction. Gino Wickman is the book. Please read it. I think it's great to help guide your company. So everything is process-driven. You know, we have playbooks for everything. I mean, it's not completed. It's an evolution that will never stop. But so our customer success managers, for example, who have historically come in at kickoff, learn what the project's about, what are the outcomes, so that when they take over, which is that completion go live, they're already informed and working on that customer with helping them with what we call customer success reviews. We do those on a cadence, understanding, are they hitting their goals? We try to really get deep with them, letting them understand that we truly are a partner in this. We're not here just to sell you product. We want to make sure you're successful. That's our commitment. Now, through that, you find opportunities to help. The other thing that we're big on, by the way, is Selling with a Noble Purpose, another great book, which means that we need to be able to demonstrate, even through proposal, that we totally understand your outcomes, that we're not just selling, we're selling with a noble purpose, that you are going to be better by doing business with us. And our salespeople need to work in that fashion, speak to that, and even write in proposals that, so that they have a deep understanding. Your question of, hey, you know what, repeat that question, because I think the train went off the track for a second.
Yeah, no, you're right on track. It was asking for your customers who you've had prior project implementations for, how are you ensuring that there's ongoing satisfaction with that implementation, or whether new projects need to be kicked off for that customer? And you said it, you have customer success reviews.
Yeah,
you have
I remember now. So we've just hired a VP of sales 6 months ago, and he's changing our sales framework. So that's still going to apply, but now we've moved from customer success to account managers. Okay. So rather than having two hands to shake, there's another way to say that, like two throats to choke, but we don't want to use that. You have one hand to shake now. So one person is going to be absolutely responsible for your account, your success, et cetera. And then we have, with those customer success reviews, leadership reviews, all of those interactions. So we get a sense of, from a leadership perspective, just one head, we're thinking about, okay, what can we do to help this company?
So I guess my final question on this topic is, we think about, and you hit on it actually, you've hit on it a couple of times, the evolution of technology. And with that comes the evolution of processes and process changing within your organization. How is your team learning or cross-sharing information today so that they can become more educated and have that confidence when in front of customers and show that they understand their customers' use cases or challenges?
That's also a great question. You know, what we are doing and have done, but this is, we have what's called a, in the parlance of EOS, we have rocks. That means they're going to take us a quarter or more to do. It's continuous improvement. We've created rock teams. This year, which was announced at our first SKO ever, which was last week, which is how I got COVID, was a new super rock. And every person who has any selling responsibility is going through a series of enablement classes. And we're doing something called customer excellence as well. So they're going to go through enablement and customer excellence. They're going to go through, you know, the speak, the understanding, for example, how to ask questions to understand risk, when to bring in a consultant or a business analyst or a business process expert or a senior solution architect or a data analyst. Because data has become very big for us as well. Data is huge. And what you get out of your, not just your CRM, but all the systems and surfacing that data that's allowing you to make good predictive decisions, ongoing real-time decisions, et cetera, that's become a big part of what we're doing. So I think I answered that, but with more.
You did. There's a lot of content in sales enablement, which is perfect. It's great to hear.
It was very, very pointy because it was just announced last week, that whole project.
So, you know, as I'm thinking through everything you're talking about here, and I want to come back to the guidance that you give companies, right? Because this is certainly an opportunity for our audience to hear these nuggets of wisdom coming from BrainCell and you specifically. When I think about helping companies grow and thrive, my mind goes to finding new business, building the pipeline, right? So as you work with your clients, I've got to expect that many of them are always looking for ways to enhance their lead machine or build a lead machine from scratch sometimes, right? What's your approach to helping them do that?
So let me first start by telling you what we're not. We're not a digital agency. That may be in our future, but that's not, we don't do that today. So we're not working with them on content or creating leads for pipeline, but we're showing them the technologies and understanding what their needs are to get them ready, as well as understanding the processes that they're going to need to create if they don't have them.
So more about lead management as opposed to lead creation per se? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. More about sales operations sometimes, more about, let's say we're doing marketing automation, understanding not only what marketing automation does, but giving them the nuances of how to maximize it. But let's just say we walk into a client and they don't have any folks inside. I remember these days, that actually are responsible for content. Marketing automation by itself isn't going to do anything, right? You need to be able to drive it with content, for example, to drive lead generation if you're going to be an inbound company. And certainly there's so many other ways to build lead generation. We do speak to it, but it's not our focus.
Gotcha.
And I want to make sure that's clear. So when you come to us, you might be looking for a new solution. What we truly want to understand is all the outcomes. And if lead generation is one of those things, we're going to peel back the onion to not, you know, them making sure they understand what they're going to need to do from their side. But from our side, we're going to get them onto, say, platforms once we understand outcome and strategic objectives on platforms that will deliver for
so
them.
Would it be fair to say that you maybe focus more on velocity, how to get leads through a qualification process quickly?
That would be part of it, but it also would be data that helps them with that. You know, perhaps identifying accounts and using workflows or other, we're working on some AI methodologies to make sure prospects in the pipeline are monitored and that there's activity. For example, you could have a pipeline that looks great, but there's no activity occurring and your individual sales reps, so they're not progressing pipeline. So we would work on things like that to show them how to get them the technologies to do that. And our idea is that, you know, we were working with them not only to increase sales through that, but scale, not having to hire. And I know a lot of people are afraid to speak to this, but the reality is you need to have a good, healthy net income or a healthy EBITDA. And so scaling to me means you're not hiring in every corner of growth. That's not to say you're not hiring or you're laying people off, but you need to become, usually payroll is your biggest expense item. So you need to be really tight on that, right? And so everything we're going to do is thinking about scale. Everything we're going to do is thinking about increasing revenue, but not having to necessarily hire every quarter.
Can I hit on something, Jim? You had mentioned that your team's pretty, sounds like they're pretty transparent about what's going to be needed on the client side before you engage and start building something out. We'll talk specifically about leads since that was Clint's question. Do you ever find that your teams in conversations are being transparent about what the project needs will be on the client's side, and the client's reaction is maybe disappointment? Not maybe surprised that they're going to have to do as much work. You talked about like content build out for it.
That happens less and less, Lizzie, because of the enablement we provided for our group. I certainly can tell you historically, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen today, but somebody coming in with an outsized expectation, it's our job to reset expectations. And I'd rather have them get disappointed on a call rather than invest in something that's not going to return for them. That may mean they'll come back at a later time when they're ready, and we'll stay in touch. I believe that's what you're asking, but yeah, I'd rather not sell them something that they can't take advantage of. How many times have I walked in to a company who bought marketing automation, and it's, I keep using marketing automation that could apply to CRM, but they simply don't have the plan, and they're using it as, in CRM's case, as a glorified Rolodex, or they're still using spreadsheets, or in marketing automation, they don't have an idea of how to build content, how to be an inbound marketer, or any of those things. And then that leads to complete disappointment. Then they're angry, you know, at the person that sold it to them for misleading. And we as a company we need to have the integrity to make sure, again, back to selling with a noble purpose, that we don't sell anything like that, that we make sure folks have what they need to be successful.
Yeah, let's segue actually, because we're talking a lot about your people, and it sounds like your people is, or your product rather, at BrainCell is your people's expertise. And that falls in line with the sales enablement side of things. I'm looking to understand from you, how do you find great people to join your team? When you think about your salespeople, your consultants.
Yep.
What's your mindset on that? What are you looking for? What are you asking for from people, maybe in interviews? Just have a dialogue around that.
Okay. So first of all, back to Entrepreneurial Operating System, we have a process for hiring. That process is consistent amongst all types of hires. And it is I believe it's a four-step process. And this sounds very cold. I don't mean it to sound cold, but we identify in the previous year, based on our sales, our company objectives, what bodies we're going to need for the upcoming year so that we can start budgeting for it. So it's a very regimented way of thinking. And then once we identify the bodies, you're looking for right body, right seat. Anybody who's familiar with EOS will understand what I'm saying, but you could have it happens all the time. It's not theoretics. It's, you could have right body, wrong seat, right? Great person culturally, fits our core values. We have four core values we live by, but the seat that we put them in somehow has set them up for failure. So maybe they're not a good salesperson, but they would be a great support desk person. Let's just say that's an example. And so it's our job to make sure that we are setting them up for success. Because if it's a salesperson, there's a series of things they go through. And our four-step process includes discovery call. Then it goes to assessment. We use an assessment program to measure cognitive scores, to measure personality profiles. And in sales, for example, sales profile, I have found that this particular test is outstanding in identifying those who will be successful at selling. And so if they don't come in recommended or highly recommended, it's pretty hard to convince us that you're going to go forward. If you get that, then you go to interview, and our interviews are separated with the appropriate parties. Sometimes it's leadership team or it's departmental. And that is also measured in a rubric. So for us in EOS, data, you can't argue with numbers, right? Numbers are numbers. So everything is data backed. So we go through the rubric individually. There may be three people and they talk to them individually. And then there's a scoring period. And in that case, we can't talk to each other. We have a rule, no selling or unselling of any candidate. And then we get together, review our rubric. It is numbers based. And then it's we go forward or not go forward. Go forward is role play, usually role play. That's how we identify our best folks. That doesn't mean, you know, I've had folks that stay with me for a long time. We have OGs, we have Gs, OGs, you know, original gangsters, they get jackets, by the way. We've had some OGs that have left, you know, they've stayed a long time. and they needed to find something new or something changed in their lives. And, you know, you wish them well, but for the most part, when we do this right, it sticks. Mm-hmm. It really sticks. It's been great for us.
Four steps. I like it. Thanks for writing, spelling it out for us.
Now, you've talked a lot, Jim, about how if you're not evolving, you're dying. You're always one embracing change inside of the company. So as I think about that, you know, learning to be the best comes from doing things right and also making mistakes. So what are the top two or three mistakes you've made as a CEO or as a sales leader, and how did you learn from them?
So again, reinforcing mistakes, it's the only way to learn. Failure is the only way to learn. And I'm sure I've got many more that I've forgotten. We've instituted a BDR program, business development representatives, in the past. That was something we analyzed. And really, unless you can do it at scale, I don't think it's effective. So we stopped that and found more effective approaches. So that was, you know, a failure in a sense. It didn't prove to be profitable or have an appropriate return on investment. So that would be something I would consider a mistake. The other thing that I am in the company is, if you read Traction, I keep referring to it. God, I hope I get a royalty.
You got several books here that you should be getting royalties off of now. You've done a great job calling them out. It's Selling with a Noble Purpose, Traction, Enterprise Operating System. These are all fantastic books.
Scott Capone, The Transparent Sale. Wonderful, by the way. So a lot of books, and we've interviewed them on our Growth Enablement Madness podcast. So one of the things I identified when I read the book was that, you know, there's a visionary and an integrator. And when I read it, I thought, oh my God, I am the visionary, but I am not an integrator. So the integrator takes care of all the details, overcoming obstacles. In our case, we call her a sharpshooter of squirrels. So I oftentimes have in the past brought in, because I love technology, anything I think, oh my God, that would really help this company here, or, you know, this great scale. Oh my God, eat it up. And so I bring it in, and then I didn't realize the pressure I'm putting on internal staff, which is, hey, we got a lot of things to sell now. We've got a lot of things to market. We've got a lot of things to educate the public on. So that was a mistake, and they have helped me control that. We now have something called Brain Cell Labs. So before I get to really, I'll put it in the lab, we'll look at it, we'll go through it. And then I have to, or any member has to build a business case. So it slowed down that process, and it's created the process around me slowing down, bringing in just all kinds of cool technology.
Makes sense. You bet. So the pace of change in the company, I kind of want to go back for a moment to, you tried out putting a BDR organization in place and it didn't work. So many companies these days are thinking about how they have business development reps or sales development reps, BDRs, SDRs, and putting that in place as a way of doing more structured lead qualification or even doing outbound prospecting. And you found in your business that it wasn't working for you. But I'd love to kind of unpack that a little bit more.
I think, again, for us, we didn't have the scale, meaning we didn't have the numbers of people to make it work. That's number one. But today versus when I had that, and maybe a few years ago when we started to remove it, and we've got a hybrid of it today, Clint, but it's not truly what it's intended to be, which is outbound, email, outreach, sales loft, you know, sequences, cadences, et cetera. We do it a little bit differently now. And I do believe that the market's going to shift. I do believe that the BDR will become, this is probably an extreme word, but obsolete. If not today, it's coming really quickly with the advent of all of the AI that's coming out, including voice AI. And we are right now working with a company on voice AI.
So leaning more on technology, AI technology to do prospecting as opposed to people doing the prospecting. So the function will probably still be there, but not staffed by people, but staffed by robots.
If you've ever heard some of these voice AI conversations that have the ability to have a sales conversation, it's really quite amazing. I think they got to fix the slight pause while maybe AI is thinking. But that will change. This is all going to change. I believe it's also a ticketing. I think the ticketing software days are not they're not numbered, but it's going to change. I think people prefer, even at my age, prefer to work with a bot to get faster answers. So that's going to change, you know, just submitting a ticket. I think you submit a ticket once you've exhausted the bot. And so, but oftentimes the answers are there through your interaction with a bot and or AI that's a learning technology. So I think a lot of things changing in the horizon, and really quickly. It's here. It's not a dream anymore. And it's been here for a while, but it's really starting to come to the public's attention.
Yeah, it's wild. And it'll be, as with anything, fun to see where it goes. Lots of new challenges that come up with the whole AI topic. I have our last question for the day, Jim. Where can our listeners find you or BrainCell?
Well, they can find us, of course, at our website, which is www. I don't even know why we say www anymore. Where it is www.brainsell.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jim Ward. I'll be sitting on a Harley if you're looking at the picture. You can find me by calling the office, 978-887-3870. There's automation that'll get me. Let me promote my podcast. It's the Growth Enablement Podcast. It is on our website. I believe it's under resources. But if you just type in to the Googles or the Safaris, Growth Enablement Madness Podcast will come right up.
Wonderful.
Because, you know, we're mad about growth.
As are we.
I'm not angry. I'm not angry.
You're too.
It's the crazy man.
The crazy man. I love it. Well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate your time. You've been awesome to chat with, and no surprise, bold as ever.